How about those Browns?
Hey, how about those Browns, Scott Petrek? How about those Browns, huh?
Yeah, huh? Did you see that one coming?
There's a lot of drama, a lot of storylines in here. This is going to be one of those reality shows if they wanted to do an extra for a Hard Knocks. There's a picture on the front page of your Chronicle Telegram today, Baker Mayfield shaking her hands or some encounter with Hugh Jackson after the – and there's a look in his eye that I would not want to be at the receiving end of that look.
No, I know. That was really interesting, and you're right. There's a bunch of stuff to talk about and a bunch of things that came out yesterday. And one of the big ones to me was the Baker-Hugh interactions, and I watched the pregame, and Hugh went and sought him out and shook his hand, but it was really quick, and Baker kind of pulled away and then walked away and clapped to himself like he was using it as motivation. And he said after the game that he was using it as motivation, that Hugh wound up with the Bengals so quickly after he left the Browns. And, you know, it was definitely interesting. And then Demaryius Randall intercepting the ball and then handing it to Hugh on the sideline. The guys tried to downplay the whole Hugh Jackson effect during the week, and you knew it was going to mean something to him just because it's so unusual for a head coach to wind up with the division rival 2 weeks after he gets fired. And then I think the truth came out during and after the game.
No, I don't know, but, you know, the Bengals and the Browns, the Bengals are basically, you know, spawned from the Browns, from Paul Brown. So, you know, there's always some sort of a different dynamic between these two teams, but this just adds another layer to it, seems, in the current day.
No, for sure. And, you know, the Bengals had won 7 in a row in the series. And, you know, it is the Battle of Ohio. And I think inside the AFC North, each rivalry takes a turn. You know, there's a cycle. And sometimes Pittsburgh's a hot one. I know everybody always hates Pittsburgh, but the circumstances have to be right for it to really become combustible. And I think that might be where we are with the Cincinnati thing. There's no doubt in my mind that Hugh plays a big role in that. How couldn't he? You know, he went from Cincinnati, came to the Browns, was terrible with the Browns, and went back to Cincinnati. You know, that's something people are going to talk about and the players are going to think about.
So let's talk about the on-field yesterday, this quick start. Did the team know what to do with such a big lead?
Well, yeah, I mean, it wound up working out fine, right? I mean, they won by 15. They were never in serious jeopardy of losing. You know, it was always at least two scores. I mean, that's as close as the game got, really, was the final score. You know, you would like to see them, I think, play smarter on defense. I'm fine with what they did on offense. I mean, they weren't doing anything, but you didn't need to score anymore. On defense, they had a couple of stupid penalties that extended drives. The one roughing the passer on Jannard Avery gave Cincinnati a touchdown because it came on a fourth down, actually a fourth down interception. So I would have liked to see him smarter on defense. But I think the overall plan to not make mistakes and just keep it simple and run the ball was fine. But the start, to me, was one of the giant stories of the game. And, you know, we talked so much about Hugh getting fired, but part of that was also the coordinator, Todd Haley, getting fired. Freddie Kitchens had stepped in and done a remarkable job. I know it's only been 3 weeks, but he's done a really good job in 3 weeks. You can see Baker's comfort level rise. I think Baker's passer rating in the three games since the change is like 129, which is really high. The last two games, he's above 140. He's the first rookie ever to have a passer rating above 140 in two straight games. And when they came out, they scored touchdowns on the first four possessions, which never happens with this team, right? They hadn't scored a first quarter touchdown for the first nine games. And it was a variety. They would go empty backfield and throw the ball. They would go three tight ends and run the ball. And Freddie just seemed like everything he called was working.
Scott, did you have a chance to take in the game in Cincinnati, or were you here?
No, I was in Cincinnati.
What was the feeling in the stadium when the Browns got up 35-7?
Well, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of Browns fans there. You would hear the Browns would do something, and you'd hear cheers. And Duke Johnson made a play, and you hear the Duke chant. So it wasn't like this huge exodus when the Browns got up, you know, took the giant lead. It was, I heard more Browns fans than I did booing by Cincinnati fans. And I don't know if that's, shows you the state of Cincinnati's team. But Cincinnati came in the game 5-5, right in the thick of the playoff race, but they had lost four or five. And I think people in Cincinnati, you know, Browns fans are so scarred just because they've been so dreadful for so long. Bengals fans have been kind of better than mediocre, but they can't win a playoff game with Marvin Lewis. And until they get over that hump, I don't think people in Cincinnati are buying in. So they weren't even that invested before the start of the game because they saw things going in the wrong direction, and it just continued yesterday.
Speaking of getting over the hump, here's this.
Mayfield by himself in the shotgun. Second down and goal at the Cincy 6. He's got the snap, looks left, comes back middle, throws tight end screen, and Joku hops up at the 2, and they push him into the end zone. Touchdown with a little help from his friends.
Now, I heard that call on the radio. It's different if you see that than if you just
because
he didn't push them. They almost like
carried him in, I mean, like almost like he was on a stretcher.
And this guy, I mean, he's a big guy. I'm just interested this sort of exemplifies how much they want it now.
Yeah, that was a cool play, and there were some funny quotes about it afterward. You know, Duke Johnson said David always thinks he can fly, and every week somebody's got to remind him that he can't. And he took off from the 5-yard line like he was going to, you know, fly 15 feet. And he stops at the 2, and then they throw him in, and then he hands the ball to a lineman to spike. It was a cool play. You know, it could have gone badly. You know, he jumps, and the ball comes out, and they fumble on the goal line. But the way it worked out was cool, and it does show that everybody has the right mindset, and they're all working together to try to make this work. And, you know, these guys, they're talking about going to the playoffs, which, it's just an incredible long shot because they would have to win out to have a chance. And that feels really unlikely for a team that had won one game in 2 seasons prior to this. But they do feel like something special is starting to happen. And I do think the turnaround, from as bad as it was the last 2 years, I think we can say the turnaround has happened, that this is a different team. And when you win 2 in a row, when you finally win on the road, when you do all these things you haven't been able to do, I think that's the proof.
Now the Browns wait for their next opponent, and what do we expect coming up next week?
Well, yeah, they go down to Houston next week, and Houston's a hot team. I'm pretty sure they're leading that AFC South, but they play tonight. They play Tennessee tonight, so all Browns fans can get a good view on Monday Night Football. I know I'll be watching, and, you know, like I said, the Browns need to win every game. That's the only chance they have to get to the playoffs, and you're looking at Houston in Monday night, so it's a short week. They're on a good streak, so if they win tonight, maybe there's a letdown. I mean, you got to figure out, okay, Houston's probably a better team than Cleveland. It's in Houston, but how can it set up for the Browns to win? And if they won tonight and they're feeling good about themselves and then they have a short week, and you can go down there and maybe they look past the Browns and they're just not recovered from the Monday night game, I think that's what you got to hope for if you're a Browns fan, for them to try to steal one down in Houston away from the Texans, because that's a good team with Deshaun Watson at quarterback and J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney. They have some weapons and they have some pass rushers.
Talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, also a Northwestern graduate. How do you look for this coming Saturday?
I don't know why it took so long to get to this, but I'm looking forward to this. My Wildcats have been in this Big Ten championship game for weeks now. You know, we didn't need to go down to the wire like the Buckeyes. And I feel pretty good about it. I think that the Wildcats have to ugly it up. That's how we play. We're not nearly as talented as Ohio State is. But my hope is that Ohio State has played hard once all year, and it was against Michigan. And I hope that they can't do it 2 times in a row or choose not to do it 2 times in a row. I hope they take Northwestern for granted, and we can sneak one out.
Were you surprised in any way, shape, or form, though, that the Buckeyes put up 62 on Michigan?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'd seen Michigan. They have a really good defense. And I was stunned that Ohio State was able to score that many points. And like I said, you know, you kept waiting for Ohio State to play a game like that because they are so talented. But they just hadn't. Every week I thought, okay, here's the game where the Buckeyes are going to play really well. Here's the game. And it never happened. And credit to them for doing it against Michigan in the biggest game of the year. And as a Northwestern fan, I just hope that they don't do 2 games in a row. Because if they play that well, it would get really ugly in Indianapolis.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, we appreciate your time. You can follow him at Scott Petrick on Twitter or look at brownzone.com and read all the stories as well as in the Chronicle. Thanks, Scott. Have a good week.
Hey, thanks, guys.